Committee will come to order. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for being here. I need to announce that AB 1591 by Cooley will not be heard today. It will be heard on June 26th. And I see that we don't have Mr. Calderon with us, but I see Ms. Weber. Would you like to join us? And before we proceed, I'd like to announce that AB 1065 by Mr. Berman has also been pulled and will be considered at a later time. Thank you. Welcome, Assemblymember Weber. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, and thank you for hearing the bill. Good afternoon, Madam Chair and members. Today I have the pleasure of presenting AB 1538, which codifies an existing best practice in the marketplace today by clarifying a consumer's right to choose either a cash payment or to repair their vehicle. The California Department of Insurance has found that a small handful of insurers have a, quote, no cash out provision in their contracts. If a consumer is in an accident that causes moderate damage to their vehicle, that causes 20,000.
Assemblymember Weber, I'm sorry to interrupt. It was my mistake. I need to establish that we don't have a quorum at this time, so just we're moving forward as a subcommittee, and we will call roll when we do have a full quorum. Thank you. Sorry for the interruption.
No problem. The California Department of Insurance has found that a small handful of insurers have a, quote, no cash out provision in their contracts. If a consumer is in an accident that causes moderate change to their vehicle that costs $2,000 to repair and the consumer has a $500 deductible, these insurers with a, quote, no cash out provision will refuse to issue the $1,500 payment it owes to the consumer unless they show proof that the repairs are being made. This bill forcing a financially disadvantaged consumer to choose between repairing their vehicle and not collecting any claim payment at all is unfair. This is especially troubling for low-income drivers who have dutifully paid their premiums on time but may not have the funds to cover the deductible amount. This bill will provide that a first-party automobile physical damage claimant may opt to receive a monetary payment based on value of the damage to the vehicle in lieu of having the vehicle repaired. This bill is sponsored by the Insurance Commissioner, Ricardo Lara, and here to speak and answer technical questions on AB 1538 is Michael Martinez, the Senior Deputy Commissioner and Legislative Director for the California Department of Insurance under the leadership of Insurance Commissioner, Ricardo Lara. This bill has received no votes and has no opposition, and I respectfully ask for your aye vote.
Thank you. Mr. Martinez, did you wish to comment?
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon. Michael Martinez here on behalf of Insurance Commissioner Ricardo Lara, and thank the Assemblywoman for her leadership in authoring this measure. And Commissioner Lara is very proud to sponsor this measure and absolutely agree with what the author had stated about the bill. So I'll just summarize it in this way, that there is an existing insurer practice of about, we'd say, 98.5% of insurers that currently do provide, give consumers the option to cash out their claims. And so we believe that this would help to ensure for a very small handful of insurers, again, less about 2%, that currently have these no cash out provisions in their contracts to be able to allow this practice for, again, for that small amount of insurers that are part of that 2%. And so we feel it goes a long way for an existing best practice. The recent amendments, the set of amendments to the bill, we think go a long way in helping to ensure that it restricts payment in cases of suspected fraud. There's also allows the insurer to include the loss payee or lien holder as an additional payee on the consumer's claim payment, as well as a third set of amendments that make clear that insurers can require a damaged vehicle to be repaired in cases where the vehicle's safety features that are part of the vehicle's operating systems are compromised. So we feel those are really good consumer protections as well, all around. And so with that, ask for your aye vote. Thank you.
Is wishing to speak in support?
Daniel Gutierrez on behalf of the Consumer Federation of California in support.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak in support? Seeing none, is there anyone wishing to speak in opposition? Okay, seeing none. Committee members, anybody wishing to ask questions? Okay. We do have a quorum. Hello. Okay, seeing we don't have any more comments, Assembly Whopper, would you like to close?
Really want to just simply thank you for listening to us today, and obviously this is an important bill to a significant population, not always the largest population, but it's a fair and honest bill that this should be offered to individuals. And as pointed out, the amendments that have been taken make it an even stronger and fairer bill. So respectfully ask for your aye vote when you get a quorum.
Thank you very much. And I do believe that this is an important bill that balances, you know, the protection for consumers as well as takes the industry into account and make sure that there's protection for fraud. As you can see, we're still lacking a quorum, so we'll put this bill in call and make sure that we let you know. Thank you so much, both of you, for being here.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Calderon here. So we're going to take a really short recess. Unfortunately, oh, I see Mr. Assemblymember Calderon here. We're going to move on to Bill AB 567 by Assemblymember Calderon. Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. First, I would like to take the suggested committee amendments, and I want to thank you and your staff for working with me in my office. In 2030, it is projected that Californians over the age 65 will become a larger share of the population than children under 18. More than half of this population will need long-term care services at some point, yet there is no sustainable option for seniors with cognitive and physical disabilities, and there's no real option for them to obtain affordable long-term care services. Middle-class seniors and persons with disabilities must decide whether to spend down their assets in order to pay for that care or exhaust their personal assets in paying, which I experienced with my grandmother when she had Alzheimer's. Luckily, you know, she was a riveter during, you know, the war, and so she saved a lot of her money and was able to help in paying for those costs, but it was extremely expensive. So it's because of this that I'm authoring this bill to establish a long-term care insurance task force convened by the insurance commissioner. Now, ever since I got elected, I've worked a lot on these issues when it comes to long-term care insurance, and I've worked on these issues because I've very much seen long-term care insurance and long-term services as being a millennial issue. And the reason why is that my generation's parents are the ones that suffered through the recession. And so, for example, my mother and my stepfather, business owners, they lost everything. Not only did they lose their business because of the recession, they also lost their home. And in that process, trying to keep the business alive, they spent down all their assets, all their retirement, absolutely every single penny they had, because it wasn't clear how long the recession was going to last. So they thought they could prop it up and recoup that money later on. But the recession was so long that they ended up losing everything. Actually, you're their senator, Senator Bates. And so, you know, the fact that over time we've lost providers for long-term care insurance. You know, we used to have over 100 providers of long-term care insurance, which would help mitigate the cost of it. Now there's 10 providers of long-term care insurance, 10 to 12. And so the costs are higher. Ultimately, the problem and the reason why I characterize this as very much a millennial issue is that those costs and those burdens are going to fall upon me and my generation when we have mountains of student loan debt. Even when we go to college, we're still only getting a minimum wage jobs, not being able to really cover our own costs. We're having to move back in with those parents. So we're really not suited to take on those costs of providing services in the event that one of our parents are going to need those services. And so I want to set up this task force that is convened by the insurance commissioner to provide expert recommendations to the insurance commissioner, the legislature, and the governor on components necessary to establish a statewide long-term care insurance program in California. So given, you know, the growing recognition of California's demographic shifts, we see it as an opportune time to identify strategies available to chart a successful path to long-term care stability. That's the motivation. This is what we're trying to do. It's just trying to establish a way that we can kind of get this going on a statewide level. And understanding what it's going to take, because I just don't think there's reliability on the private sector moving forward. We're just going to have to figure out on a statewide level, if we create a program, what does that look like? And I think a task force is where we need to start, because how can we make a decision without thoroughly understanding an issue? And this is a great way to understand that issue. With that, I respectfully ask for an aye vote, and with me to testify in support is Dolores Duran Flores with the California School Employees Association.
Good afternoon.
Welcome.
Thank Hi. You. Good afternoon, Madam Chair and members. Again, I'm Dolores Duran Flores with the California School Employees Association. We're here in strong support of AB 567. Tragedy can strike at any time And anyone can find themselves in need of long-term care insurance, which can be devastating financially. The lack of affordable long-term care insurance is a big concern for classified employees and other working families. My members earn on average $25,000 a year for full-time work and $13,000 a year for part-time work. After paying for basic living expenses and health care insurance, long-term care insurance is simply out of reach for them. Also, most people think that their health insurance covers long-term care. When workers and their loved ones can no longer care for themselves and are exposed to the high cost of nursing care, they're shocked and they're afraid. It's not uncommon for long-term care insurance to exceed $6,000 a month. Most people don't have that kind of money to pay, not even for a couple of months, without wiping out their savings and other assets. After they have nothing in their savings, they sell their home, they sell their car, they're forced to rely on the state and their families for care. This is wrong. This is unfair. It happened to my mother-in-law as well. It was several thousand every month. And after 3 months, she was out of all of her money. Had she survived, we would have had to dispose of all of her assets to pay for her long-term care insurance. The system is broken, and it needs to be fixed. And we think AB 567 is a necessary step in this process, and we urge your vote.
Good afternoon. Michael Martinez here on behalf of Insurance Commissioner Ricardo Lara, in strong support of this measure, and want to thank the Assemblyman for authoring this important measure. Long-term care insurance is a growing concern for Insurance Commissioner. He has been taking increasingly more time in looking at this issue, again being about probably 6 months into the position, that he is looking at and becoming again increasingly concerned with the high cost of long-term care insurance rates on consumers. And clearly, we've heard the examples of from the Assemblyman and from the previous witness that the personal impacts that and two of many stories that are occurring throughout the state and nation. And so it really is today consumers who cannot afford these increased premiums and find themselves left with few choices. They can either drop the policy, effectively throwing away years of premiums paid, and potentially turn to government assistance programs like Medicaid, Medi-Cal here in California, or they can accept fewer benefits, which amounts to paying more for less. Neither option, he believes, is palatable. And so the commissioner believes that in partnership with Assemblyman Calderon, now's the time to turn this issue around and think ahead by creating programs and products that deliver on the promise of long-term care that provides quality care and dignity for seniors. And he believes this task force envisioned in this bill would be a strong first step toward building and exploring a robust statewide public long-term care insurance program here in California. As another note, the commissioner just returned from a National Association of Insurance Commissioners meeting just last week about LTC, and the whole bulk of it was looking at LTC adequacy rates. What do we do with all of these now closed blocks, which are a term that's used for LTC policies of policies that are no longer sold, but they're still on the books, and there's thousands of policyholders still that are continue to see these double-digit increases. And so it is a huge quandary nationwide for insurance commissioners throughout the nation of what to do with these closed box business, as well as to continue, because under this commissioner, he certainly wants to incentivize and have and review and approve newer products for placement on the market, and we're starting to see more long-term care products that have other options to provide. So again, bringing back to this bill, is that the commissioner is very proud in supporting this bill. It certainly will go a long way, and also be remiss if I didn't also thank the Assemblyman for accepting additional amendments to the bill that we thought to further widen the tent of additional long-term care providers that provide really valuable service in the long-term care delivery system today. So with that, ask for your aye vote. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any witnesses wishing to speak in support? Any witnesses wishing to speak in opposition? Okay. Members, any questions? Yes, Mr. Borges.
Chairwoman, this is more of a kind of a housekeeping procedural question. So this would create this study And I guess my question maybe posed to you, would it be more appropriate for the insurance commissioner and through the insurance department to have initiated this study on its own rather than go through the legislature? Or I'm just trying to figure out, is it common for us to delve directly into these departments in this fashion?
Thank you for that question. I can appreciate where it's coming from. There certainly have been bills previously pertaining to just any issue where helping in partner with the administration, in this case, its own standalone statewide constitutional officer, whether administrative or through a bill. If for this case, the commissioner supports this bill because it really is a partnership, and it does provide this this open dialogue and partnership with the legislature, because it really is, and it needs to be a partnership, he believes. And so creating this task force in a statutory construct or through a bill helps provide, again, the partnership from day one. And as you know, former Senator Lara, he comes from, and he really does see in his role as insurance commissioner partnering with you all. And so he does believe that this is a very good first step in having a bill and being able to again partner with the legislature and the assemblymen.
And Senator, and I appreciate the question. I've authored a couple of these bills in the past. I mean, I just got a bill passed last year that set up a working group to really examine blockchain technology and its everyday uses in our everyday life when it comes to voting and everything else. And so generally, the legislature does author these types of pieces of legislation. The one thing that I would say in terms of the benefit of it being coming from us is the accountability of us as well, and allowing us to have a role in what ends up going into the commission and what comes out of that commission. You know, one of the things that we've been working on ever since the new class of members that can serve 12 years is, you know, there was a what we believed an application of a lot of authority to different, whether it's state bureaucracies or other areas. And so what we try to do is maintain our ability to serve an oversight role and have whatever we end up doing come back to us so that we can weigh in on what that process is. And if the legislature has buy-in from the beginning, it allows us an opportunity to have more of an interest in passing something later on whenever we hear back from the commission and whatever this is established, and we get the report back from this commission specifically, the insurance commissioner, and the legislature has buy-in and has the ability to do that because we are the one that established it.
Thank you.
Any other members? Mr. Archuleta and then Ms. Bates.
And I'm hoping that through the task force, and I can envision bringing the insurance industry together and creating plans, statewide plans, that would open up doors for those who are becoming seniors, those with disabilities, those that are looking for long-term care. Are you looking also to set down rates and terms and conditions? Is the task force going to be looking at that as well?
I think what we're trying to do is we don't know what it's going to take moving forward. We understand what the problem is, but I think we're still a little confused on what the solution is going to be. You know, there are different avenues. So what we're trying to do is, okay, on a statewide level, what can we do to establish some type of a program? What is that program going to look like? What are the costs going to look like? You know, if we're going to be establishing rates, what does that look like? We've got to talk to the industry. What can they do? What can they not do? Who is going to be the implementer of the program? So, I mean, at the point of the task force is to answer all those questions. And that's the reason why I'm running this bill right now, rather than a bill to establish what a program actually would look like, just because I couldn't answer that, and I need more information in order to establish something like
and
that.
And obviously, information is power. So you mentioned there's only 10 or 12. I guess the goal would be to grow it once again to reach that number of 80, 90, 100 that'll be participating with the new implementation of whatever we can put together on the table that will show us what is happening in today's world.
Yeah.
So, I congratulate you for your efforts.
Thank you, Senator.
Before I go to Ms. Bates, we do have a quorum now. Please call the roll.
Rubio.
Here.
Rubio present. Jones. Archuleta.
Here.
Archuleta present. Bates. Bates present. Borges.
Present.
Borges present. Dodd. Galgiani.
Here.
Galgiani present. Glazier. Hueso. Mitchell. Morlock. Portantino.
Here.
Portantino present. Roth. Sorry. Dodd. Dodd present.
So now we have a quorum.
Excuse me, sir. Are you supposed to be here? Okay.
So thank you. Well, first of all, thank you for showing up. We will continue to Senator Bates. You were next. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you, Assemblymember Calderon, for your persistence here, because the governor, said no on the last round. Reasons for that, I think, were of concern. Certainly legitimizing, there's a concern about sustainability of a program that gets initiated that's totally government. So give me some responses as you go forward, how you would, in the agenda for this task force, would deal with a lot of the opportunities that could be there on something that's more not just public insurance, but maybe a private-public partnership. Mm-hmm. I see that as the solution, because a new payroll tax on top of payroll taxes, if that's the way we support the government programs, that starts to be a diminishing benefit to those who see at the younger age, yours, the money going out. And you're going to say, well, what happens if I don't live long enough to need long-term care insurance? And it is very expensive. We have it. It is certainly less than what it costs you in long-term care. My mother was in that. It was about $5,000 a month. But because of a combination of, you know, pensions that she had and what my dad provided for her, we were able to sustain that.
Right.
Long-term care insurance right now runs about $2,000 a year. Per person. And that is certainly less than the cost of long-term care, if that's going to kick in, but it's basically limited in terms of how long it, pays. So all those things, the dimensions, the components of this, to me, are very important. I think it's a very noble cause, no question. But I would like to know that the agenda for this task force takes in a whole spectrum of opportunity and ideas to ensure that a program is going to be sustainable, and we know the federal government tossed it out of ACA because of the lack of sustainability they believe for a nationwide government run program. So that has to be part of it. And knowing our insurance commissioner, and I had a very good conversation with him today of how he's really enjoying moving around the state and hearing all of the different ideas and the needs that are out there and how we meet them in terms of the importance of insurance at every dimension, every level of our lives. So what I'm going to do today, that's kind of a statement and a question. I did vote no last time, and I'm not voting no this time, but I'm going to lay off because I would like you to spend some time thinking about how we would agendize and how you respond to what Governor Brown said in his veto message. So start with that, because you brought it back. You didn't agree with him, and it's pretty much the same. So what do you see as the new way to approach this that answers his concern and certainly the federal concern?
Yeah, absolutely, and I appreciate that question. The biggest concern that I have right now is the fact that it's an unsustainable solution where you have people that don't have long-term care insurance, and they end up in a position where they need long-term care insurance, so they're spending down their assets in order to qualify for Medi-Cal. And that isn't a sustainable system moving forward. I assume nothing in the creation of this task force. I'm not pointing in a specific direction for this to go. What I'm trying to do is put the right amount of people and the right collection of people on a task force to be able to end up with the best product. I don't have invested interest in what that product looks like. I have a vested interest in making sure that whatever the suggestions are that the legislature is ultimately going to make a decision on is the utmost up-to-date, best possible solution moving forward, taking all of those factors into consideration, taking costs, individual circumstances and issues, the private sector impact, public sector impact. I mean, if it's a public sector answer, then that's going to be the answer. If it's private, it's private. If it's joint, then it is joint. I am not married in any way, shape, or form to any specific outcome. I just want the best outcome, because ultimately it's not my job to say I want something specifically. It's my job to get the right answer and then try to convince you all that that's the right thing to do moving forward. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Senator Galjani.
I wanted to thank you for bringing this forward, and I have two people who are very close to me, like adopted parents, and they're going through this right now where we're trying to come up with a plan for them in 6 months. And while in-home support services is a wonderful service to have, it doesn't work all the time for all stages for everyone. And just in Stockton, for example, for a two-bedroom independent living place, it's $3,400 a month. Plus $675 for the second person. And while that includes all your meals, it's clearly out of reach for many, many people. And that's when it's more of an independent living situation as opposed to needing assisted living with medication and dressing and bathing and things like that. So I really thank you for pursuing this. I think that we need to, as we're looking at affordable housing now for individuals, we need to think in terms of affordable independent living situations for our seniors. We have the baby boomer generation who is aging out, if you will, and we need to make sure that there are places for them to go and receive the care that they need. So that also needs to be a piece of what this task force looks like, and I hope you will consider that too.
Thank you, Senator.
Any other members wishing to speak? Thank you. Moved by Mr. Archuleta. But before we do, I want to just make comments on it. I think, you know, as Mr. Martinez mentioned, it's a great first step. And I really do, I'm glad to hear that you're taking suggestions. One of the things that concerned me just initially, not a big concern, but I would like to see that board makeup be representative of the entire state. You're from Southern California as well as I am. And one of the biggest concerns and complaints I hear a lot is that sometimes we tend to fill those slots with either Northern or Southern, and then we have the Central Valley that gets left out. So having people from every sector, every single geographical area from Southern California, Northern, wherever, would be important because everyone deals with different issues differently depending on where they're at. And so I just want to see if you would consider that moving forward, making sure we add language that would allow for different regions of California to be represented.
I have no problem with that, and I'm more than happy to continue to work with you and your staff to find appropriate language to address that issue.
Thank you. And Mr. Archuleta, I move the bill. Please. I'm sorry. Mr. Calderon, would you wish to close?
I appreciate the dialogue. You know, I'm not looking to be traditional when it comes to solving this problem. I think we need to be capacity and the right kind of membership in both houses to do so. And I think that this is a great opportunity for us to start working on, to take the first step to start working on an issue that is only going to continue to deteriorate and get worse. And so the time is now to act. And with that, I respectfully ask for an aye vote.
Thank you.
It's been moved by Archuleta. The motion is to pass as amended and re-refer to Health Committee. Rubio.
Aye.
Rubio, aye. Jones. Archuleta.
Aye.
Archuleta, aye. Bates. Borges. Dodd. Dodd, aye. Galgiani.
Aye.
Galgiani, aye. Glazier. Glazier, aye. Hueso. Mitchell. Morlock. Portantino. Portantino, aye. Roth.
So I'm going to put that bill on call. Seven votes. So six will be on call. Thank you, Mr. Calderon. And here. So next bill is AB 1104, also by Assembly Calderon. You may proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. AB 1104 will add two public members to the board of the California Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association, otherwise known as CLIGA, and create an assessment to fund financial oversight of long-term care insurance companies. Now, just to be clear, this is the companies asking for this on their own, asking for the fee to do this on their own, and we're broadening the board. And just to be clear, what CLIGA is the it's basically a guarantee fund. So if you're a provider of long-term care insurance, say you properly, you didn't make proper assessments in terms of what you charge for your policies, you go out of business. Well, there's a lot of people that have been paying for a really long time to have that long-term care insurance. Now the question is, what happens to them? Well, CLIGA exists so that in the event that somebody goes out of business, all those people that are now left in lurch without a plan have a GIS guarantee association that all the providers pay into to cover the costs and make sure that they have that plan. And so what we're trying to do is shore that up and make sure that, you know, it continues to exist in current form, although there's going to be more work that's going to be needed for its long-term success and viability. Currently, CLIGA's board of directors is only made up of insurance industry individuals, and there are no non-insurance industry interests thus represented on the board. This bill will ensure that the interests of the public at large, not just the insurance industry, are part of the deliberations of CLIGA. Additionally, this bill includes an assessment to fund the reports last year's AB 2395 required the Department of Insurance to conduct additional financial oversight of long-term care insurers. These new filing requirements are designed to enable the Department of Insurance to better understand the financial position of long-term care insurers and hopefully act early enough to head off potential insolvencies. This assessment was negotiated over the fall between the industry and the Department of Insurance and enjoys support from both of those interests. I respectfully ask for your aye vote on this measure, and with me to testify in support is Michael Martinez with the Department of Insurance, and Sherry with ACLIC, if she's around.
Martinez.
Good afternoon, Michael Martinez, Department of Insurance. Proudly support this measure and absolutely agree with what the Assemblyman had said. So it's really just, he had a measure last year that was enacted that would mandate insurers to file a report with the department. This bill now before you would allow us to be able to recoup our costs, to be able to make sure that really these long-term care insurance companies, they meet, annually assess them, as well as to prevent more LTC company insolvencies and ultimately protect consumers. So we are, and also with the public members on the CLIGA board, support that element of the bill as well. And so with that, ask your aye vote.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak in support, please come forward.
Thank you, Chair. Members, John Sharikin on behalf of the Association of California Life and Health Insurance Companies. Excuse the attire today, had a minor surgery, but want to take this opportunity and thank the Assembly Member and the Department for working with us on this bill. It's a good bill. The assessment is needed, and it's going to provide enhanced oversight and transparency of what's going on to the long-term care market. And what we just heard from the prior bill, there's a lot going on there, and it's a really important bill. So with that, thank you, and respectfully ask for aye vote.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak in support? Anybody wishing to speak in opposition of the bill, please come forward. Seeing none, members, any comments? Moved by Mr. Borges, please call the roll.
The motion is due pass to Appropriations Committee. Rubio.
Aye.
Rubio, aye. Jones. Archuleta.
Aye.
Archuleta, aye. Bates. Aye. Bates, aye. Borges. Borges, aye. Dodd. Dodd, aye. Galgiani. Galgiani, aye. Glazier. Glazier, aye. Weso, Mitchell, Morlock, Portantino, Portantino, aye. Roth.
We have eight. We're going to place the bill on call. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Senator.
We
really appreciate your time. At this time, we're going to lift the call on. I guess everyone's excited to see Senator Wessel come today. Welcome, Mr. Wessel. We're going to lift the call on AB 1538 Weber. Please call the roll.
Motion is due pass. It was moved by Borges. Rubio.
Aye.
Rubio, aye. Jones. Archuleta.
Aye.
Archuleta, aye. Bates. Borges.
Aye.
Bates, aye. Borges, aye. Dodd. Dodd, aye. Galgiani.
Aye.
Galgiani, aye. Glazier.
Aye.
Glazier, aye. Weso.
Aye.
Weso, aye. Mitchell. Morlock. Portantino.
Aye.
Portantino, aye. Roth.
The bill has 9 votes. We're going to place that bill on call. At this time, I'm going to lift the call on AB 567. Please call the roll.
Motion is due pass as amended and we refer to Health Committee. Current vote is 6-0. Jones, Bates, Borges, Weso, Weso, aye, Mitchell, Morlock, Roth. Yes. Current vote is 7-0.
So it's 7-0. We're going to place the bill on call. We're going to take a 5-minute recess to ensure. So we're going to move on to consent calendar. So I'm going to open up for AB 1104 to allow Mr. Wessel to vote.
Motion is due pass to appropriations. Wessel. Wessel, aye.
We're going to place that bill on call with 9 votes. We're going to move on to consent calendar. Motion by Ms. Archuleta, please call the roll.
Item number 1, AB 188. Item number 7, AB 1813. Item number 8, AB 1814. Rubio?
Aye.
Rubio, aye. Jones? Archuleta?
Aye.
Archuleta, aye. Bates?
Aye.
Bates, aye. Borges?
Aye.
Borges, aye. Dodd?
Aye.
Dodd, aye. Galgiani?
Aye.
Galgiani, aye. Glazier?
Aye.
Glazier, aye. Wessel?
Aye.
Wessel, aye. Mitchell? Morlock? Portantino? Portantino, aye. Roth?
That has 9 votes. We're going to place that on call. At this point, we're going to take a 10-minute recess. Most of our members are in Budget Committee right now. So we're going to open, we're going to lift the call on AB 567 to allow Mr. Morlock to vote. Please call the roll.
Current vote is 7-0, Morlock. AB 567, Calderon. Yes. Morlock, no.
We're going to place that bill on call. We're going to lift the call on AB 1104, Calderon. Please call the roll.
Do pass to Appropriations Committee. Current vote is 9-0. Morlock. AB 11.
Can we just have silence just for a little bit so we can get these bills through? Thank you.
Item number 4, AB 1104. Current vote is 9-0. Do pass to Appropriations Committee. Morlock. Morlock, aye.
10-0. We're going to place the bill on hold. On call.
Item number 5, AB 1538. Motion is due pass. Current vote is 9-0. Morlock. Morlock, aye. Jones. AB 1538. Weber. Do pass. Current vote is Jones, aye.
And we're going to put it on hold as well. The vote is 11-0. We're going to place that on call. I've been advised that all 4 members of our committee are in budget, so we're going to take a 10-minute recess. Okay, we're going to go to consent calendar. Please call the roll.
Item number 1, AB 188. Item number 1813. AB 14. Current vote is 9-0. Jones. Jones, aye. Morlock. Morlock, aye.
Consent is 11-0. Since we have Mr. Jones join us, we're going to lift the call on AB 567, Calderon. Thank you.
Jones. Jones, no.
The vote is 7-2. We're going to place that bill on call. I'm going to lift the call on AB 1104, Calderon.
Current vote is 10-0, Jones. Jones, aye.
The vote is 11-0. We're going to place the bill back on call. But what? Did he vote on consent? Okay, so we are going to have to take a more or less 7 or 8 minute recess until budget is concluded. And with that, we'll open it up again. Thank you. So we're going to have to wait a minute. We are going to open up the committee meeting. We have our two missing members. At this point, we're going to open, lift the call on the consent calendar for AB 188, AB 1813, AB 1814. Please call the roll.
Current vote is 11-0. Mitchell?
Aye.
Mitchell, aye. Roth?
Aye.
Roth, aye.
The bill is out. 13-0. Next, we're going to lift the call on AB 567. Caldron, please call the roll.
Current vote is 7-2. Mitchell?
Aye.
Mitchell, aye. Roth?
Aye.
Roth, aye.
The bill is out, 9-2. Next, we're going to lift the call on AB 1538. Weber, please call the roll.
Current vote is 11-0. Mitchell?
Aye.
Mitchell, aye. Roth?
Aye.
Roth, aye.
The bill is out, 13-0. Next, we're moving on to AB 1104. Caldron, please call the roll.
Current vote is 11-0. Mitchell?
Aye.
Mitchell, aye. Roth?
Aye.
Roth, aye.
And the bill is out, 13-0. Thank you, everyone. I have a... Thank you. And this concludes this committee. Have a wonderful afternoon.
Thank you.